This is May 3rd, 2015. If I can remember that, I will mention that at the beginning of each of the messages. Some of it is for Corky's sake when he puts them on the internet. And as I was sitting here this morning and thinking of the few in numbers and what God is actually doing that a lot of people on the outside don't see and us that are on the inside can scarcely see. And I was overtaken, I don't know how else to say that, just a few minutes ago, by almost a prophetic thought. And the thought was, while we're saying here, that, you know, we're sitting here and we're saying, well, there's just a few of us. And I could hear an inner voice somewhere, and it wasn't coming out of me, but it was saying, don't despair and think that you're just a few in number. I have thousands that have not bowed the knee to false doctrines and false Godhead theories that we don't see. And, you know, the devil is a created being. And I don't know that we understand it sometimes. The devil was created, and it tells us that way back in Ezekiel 28:15. It says, in the day that he was perfect, in the day that he was created. And the angels are created beings, even though they're spiritual, they're spirits. And when God made us, and he didn't make us, you know, supposedly, I mean, we weren't created spirits. We were created out of the dust of the earth, out of the things that are natural and are fleshly. And but the thing is, we don't live without the spirit. The Bible says the body without the spirit's dead. It requires a spirit nature substance that God provides in order to live. And one of the songs that Corky was bringing about the rain, and I can't remember just how it went about the rain falling, and Lord send the Spirit, or, you know. And that has to be our cry. That has to be our want, our hunger, our whatever. And this morning, I've had a number of things that I wanted to share, but I something else took place in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to read a little bit, and I will tell you what happened this morning. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. And anyway, everything that I've read so far, all of these things are the top priorities as far as we can see in the scriptures. Those are top priorities. Though I, you know, speaking with tongues, that's a priority because that's part of that's a revelation or the revealing of the gift of receiving the Holy Spirit, which is the rain that we want to fall on us. And which is what God is. God is spirit. And so And the gift of prophecy, which the Bible says that that profits the body, and that's what we are, each one of us, are. We are to ask for it. We are to seek the gift of prophecy. And understand all mysteries. What are we after as a little Podunkville church system here? We want to understand. I want to know the mysteries. I want to have knowledge. Is that what I want? And faith, which comes by the hearing of the scriptures. Isn't that what I want? Without faith it is impossible to please God. And even if I give my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I mean, we have hit the epitome of what is labeled as Christianity. That's what we're asking for. But you know what? I got a better understanding of this thing this morning. And when we're talking about having charity, I got that translated. I got a translation of it this morning. We're talking about the heart structure of each one of us. The inner heart is what he's talking about. If my heart is not perfect, if my heart is not right, because God looks upon the heart and judges the heart. We're talking about the heart system. More so than, see, we can look at it and we can just kind of pass over it and say, well, charity, love, you know. Of course, I love everybody. And that's not really the essence of what God's talking about. If my heart is not right before God,
That's good.
We're getting into the nitty-gritties, so to speak. We're getting into a different realm. And when God created man, he gave him a spirit. And so when it says back in Genesis, it says, and God said, let us create man in our image. Well, man was to become a spirit being. And he created man, but if he hadn't put the spirit nature substance inside of man, he'd still be a formless thing laying there that it's a... It could be a body, it could be whatever it was, but it's just a hunk of clay. So the body without the spirit is dead, it says in James. As soon as when a man dies, the spirit leaves. And once the spirit leaves, the man is dead. And the doctors can say, well, there's a electrical impulse that keeps the body going and whatever else, and the heart keeps ticking, and we got to keep the heart ticking. You got to keep it going. But the truth of the matter is, when God removes the spirit, the heart can't keep ticking. And so, no matter what, you know, people want. But anyway, God judges and looks upon the heart. And so here's a scary thing. And even though we are coming into some major things. The revelation of the deity or the humanity of Christ and the identity of Christ is a major, major, major thing. I spent the day yesterday, a lot of time yesterday, out in a boat with Rodney and Jeff. And the thing that I was blessed, I told him that yesterday. I said, this is a blessing to me. Because they understand some major revelations that make all the difference in what we will become. You can't become the divine image and whatever of God through Jesus Christ and have his identity something that's not right. We have to know God as God wants us to know him. We have to know his son as God wants us to know the son. We can't know him in some foreign thing that has been designed and devised and created by man. Not created, but devised by man. If we know him in the wrong nature, wrong thing, we won't become like him. We can't become like a glorified man that the Antichrist has turned into a deity. It's not a possibility. And so people are struggling in church after church after church with, in false doctrine. They're struggling today to become like something that is impossible to become like. He's not deity. He is what God made him to be. He is what God brought forth. Does it matter? And that's what we were talking about, you know, yesterday with Rodney and Jeff. You know, and I told him how thankful and glad I was just to spend the day with him. We're on the same page. And does it matter? Yeah, yes, it matters. So even though we're picking up these, and that's what I meant to say, even though we're picking up these major understandings, and it is, I believe that the most major revelation that I have ever gotten is the beginning of the identity of Christ. Paul said, oh, Philippians 3, oh, that I might know him. Oh, that I might know him. And you think, why? Why does he want to know him? And you know what? Ken has been on this theme for a long, long time. Why do we want to know Christ? Why? Because he is the revelation of the Father. If you don't know Christ, you don't know can't know the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He that has heard me has heard the Father. That's what he's telling us in John 14. He that has seen me has seen the Father. What does Paul want to know? He wants to know what every one of us should want to know. I want to know the Father. So here's my... here's the doorway. Here's the route in. Oh, that I might know him. And the fellowship of... and the power of his resurrection. Where'd that come from? The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I want to know that. The power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering. And I want to be made conformable unto his death. And I'm thinking, I don't see deity here anywhere. I don't see anywhere that Paul ever wanted to identify with Christ as deity. Everywhere it was a man. And so we're getting into this thing and we're starting to understand it. And you know what? If you've ever gotten into anything that is going to put a black mark on you and is going to be bad news for whatever, it's that revelation. The devil has taken that thing and he's thrown it so strong into the church system that if you come along and say that Jesus Christ was a man that was glorified by God, who was made to, you know, whatever God wanted him to become, and God made him to be that, and you say that, and I tell you, your name is mud. And I begin to realize one day, you know what, those are fighting words. And so you still want it? Well, let me tell you a little bit about me. I have come to the place where I want the truth, whatever it costs. That's a little bit.
Yes, amen. Truth, whatever it costs.
Yes, sir. My system, for some reason, had been almost totally different for about 4 days. And my balance has been good, and so you know what the Bible says? Knock and the door will be open, you know, seeking and shall find, asking whatever. If we got to keep asking for these things on a regular basis.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Keith, just for the recording here, Keith says that his system has been different. His balance has been there here the last 4 days, so praise the Lord. A couple things. What Keith brought about 1 Corinthians 13 there, it light went off in my head. That's what agape is talking about. It's the thing that we refer to as the heart. And that scripture means more to me now. And I tell you, it shines light on what agape is, but it also shines light on what the heart is. You know, the thing that the heart is to be agape. You know, God type love. You know. So praise the Lord. But I know we can a little bit think, yeah, that's a real nice scripture there, you know. But we flip around that word love so kind of carelessly sometimes. And we have no business doing that. We really don't. It's we should take 1 Corinthians 13 at its face. And so, yes, that is. And you're right, Keith. It does. Paul does list off all the things that seem as though they're on the very top shelf as far as Christianity goes. But what he's saying is, no. They're at a much lower shelf than agape, than charity. And I don't know that ever resonated me for as much as what you brought here today. Another thing I wanted to bring, and that is that when we talk about that the fact that there is Jesus is not divinity, what he is humanity, not divinity, it suggests that he is in some way lesser. You know, it diminishes him. It creates that idea that you have diminished Jesus in some way by saying that, no, he's not God, he's a man. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that is true. I think that his magnificence, whatever, majesty, whatever, all the terms that you want to use in relation to that, they haven't gone down any by virtue of the fact that he's not God. They're just right up there, maybe even a little more, because he's man. So to say that Jesus was a man, that he was not God, is not to reduce him. It's not to lessen him in any way. It's to exalt him even higher or something, you know. And of course, it extends our potential, not what we are, but what we have the potential to be just sky high there with Jesus too, you know. Would that that's what happens. Imagine, you know, what the Lord has for us is something way, 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 way high, and we get up 2, 3, 4 feet. You know, that's not what we want. It's not what we want. We want to be as high as the Lord would have us to be.
Boy, but I got 3-4 things just spinning around, and I hope I can touch on all of them. But that's a good illustration. First of all, seems he's just a man, only there's a little added adjective, perfect man. So how many have there been?
Yeah, that's right.
If it's so easy and it's so lesser, you know. That was a good illustration that Charlie gave and Keith. There's a... I was thinking about the fact that we have a spirit and everything, and you know, and the angels are spirit beings, and it, you know, this doesn't get talked about a lot, but I've mentioned it a few times. You know, when we become what we're to become in heaven, there's not going to be gender. There's really not going to be man-woman. There's not going to be man-wife, father-children, sons-daughters. And you know, if that's what you, if that was it, that would fall so short of what He really has as the kingdom of heaven. He's got, it's way beyond that. Think about, if you're a spirit being, and here's where I've been kind of leading, and now Christ is able as a spirit being, even though He's still the Son of Man, He can be received by, well, He could be received by every single soul on earth, which would be a billion. That's the capability, I believe, is going to be heaven. You're not going to just be up there with people you know and family and friends. You're being infused into the family of God, which is every saint that's ever been. And you're going to know them on probably a continual minial second of every, if there's even time. So any kind of far out there, but that's, you know, that's why to, you know, because, and there's scripture for that, because Jesus said, you know, well, all these men that married this woman, He said, well, you've got it all wrong. Who's going to be with her, you know, like in heaven? He said, you're going to be as the angels. So that tells me something. I don't know completely at all, not even close, except for the tiny little bit I just tried to share. But anyway. The other thing was, it was funny. I was driving along here the other day, and it happened to be, I think, Matthew. And I, all of a sudden, just for a small amount of time, I went, boy, this just sounds so friendly. And it was Jesus' words were being said. And all of a sudden, I just felt this, like, not up there, but just this closeness of a friend or something speaking. You know? And it was fleeting, but that told me something. And then, so, because sometimes, here's a big admission, sometimes I don't always want to keep playing the Gospels because I feel like, it's a story, that's a, you know, which is really stupid. But that's my, weak, you know, humanity. But then all of a sudden I was hearing the things that were being said and it started to really minister, and one of them was the whole thing about, you know, the seed being planted in the different, you know. Well, I heard that, but then later on, that seed came up again, but it was in a different context. And I got really excited because it talks about it in the first part of 13. You know, the one where he sowed some seed, fell by the wayside. Some on stony places, burnt up by the sun because it didn't have deep roots and everything. And it says, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, something that Keith said last week, and I don't remember if it was Sunday during the service or Sunday night, really caught my attention. Because all of a sudden it gave me some wisdom, maybe an understanding to where people can be. And it was, you said, yes, a lot of people have received truth. And then, but I can't remember how you put, but it was like, but then that's all they did. They just received the initial truth, but they didn't seek the truth thereafter. I don't know, do you remember how you kind of said that? And I started thinking, so that would explain a little why people can be born again and maybe still be in jeopardy.
Yeah.
See, and I thought, and a lot of them go out with that seed that fell on the wayside or in stony places, and they go, but we produced 60, 30-fold of just of what they are. You know, and Jesus talked about, he says, you Pharisees and scribes, you go out and you win a proselyte over and you make him, ten times to hell, whatever, you know, than you are. So, yeah, people that have received some truth may create 30-fold of what they've received. But that's not benefiting anybody if it's where they go. Stay. Sit.
That's good.
And then I was listening, and then it got over into verse 37. And it says, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds, now listen, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. If you don't receive the seed that goes deep and takes hold, you're not the son of the kingdom. You're the tare.
That's good.
The enemy, or it says, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of who? Their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that just changed a whole bunch in my whole psyche of whatever. And then I was sitting here this morning while people were sharing, and I remember I had read, you know, where Jesus takes the three of them up on the mountain, and God speaks, and he says, well, maybe it's not just there. It might be when it might be when Jesus had the dove settle on him too. But he says, this is my beloved son. And he also says, hear him. Now, think on this. Christ is what? The first fruit of many? And I got really touched because I thought, don't we want to be, when God says the same about you? This is my beloved son. And isn't that possible?
Yeah.
If he's the first fruit of many, then there's supposed to be more of him, you know? So, that's a pretty, you know, and I sat there and I went, see, Lord, that hasn't sunk in. That's not really that hasn't become as important to me as it should be that I would want that to be said of me. But it is being formed, you know? And that's what Keith was touching on. It's, you know, there's lots of people out there that just can love people and do good things for people. Does not necessarily mean their heart is right before God. And Jesus said, it's good to do those things. But first, you better know. You know, you better be in good standing with my Father. And you better hear me while I'm here. He said, the poor and so forth will always be with you. But I'm only here for a short time. And my word, you know, is here. Which now goes on forever. But, so... I've been seeing a little bit and hearing what Jesus is saying, and I'm going, now that's what the Father, my Father, is looking for. And it's this person who isn't concerned about politics, isn't concerned about really if he eats, how well he's clothed, isn't concerned about what people say about him. And you know, we brush over all of that. I do. All the time I do. But isn't that what we're supposed to become?
Yes.
See? And the more that I keep saying my kingdom is not of this world, I'm hoping I will slowly shed the other. You know? And start being in that place where... the Son of Man knows not where he'll lay his head, you know. And I have some things coming up that may test that a little. Because, good old unions and whatnot. But so they mismanage their money and then all of a sudden they don't have the funds to pay you your pension anymore, maybe. So, possible. Well, it's going to happen, I just don't know how much. But, so, you know, it's just one of those things, but... I started to, and then I thought, I'd like to tell somebody what I think. And I thought, no, I don't. It's, God will take care of me, you know. And I might have to get rid of some stuff, so big deal, you know. Really, I mean, now when the time comes, I may be a little struggle, but I think in the end, he will win out. So it's just, you know, he's always taken care of me, my family. He's taken care of so many of you, hasn't he? I mean... sometimes it looks like just in the pit, you know, and then all of a sudden this, and people are brought up and taken care of. And so, yeah, that's the stuff I have to dwell on a lot more of. So.
I wasn't going to get up because I just came in the door, but well, that was the part I heard. Ken was just really was a blessing to me, and such a yep, that's it, that's the attitude, that's what we're striving for, and so I'm right there with you, and good for you. And you know, I was going to just go, oh, those unions, and then you're going, well, that's okay, you know. And I'm like, that's right, because there's only one trustworthy. Man isn't trustworthy. Can't trust man anyway. So only one put our hope, we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's where we're heading. Just this other stuff doesn't make any difference. And it was very encouraging to hear you say that.
The last part of what you were sharing, Ken, it brought to remembering something. You know, it says, Jesus says, you have no power over me unless it has been given to you from above. So here's like, you know, I can do this to you. Well, unless God gives the power... you have no power over Jesus. And sometimes we say, I think wrongfully, we say, you know, the devil is really testing me. The devil is putting me through, doing this to me, you know, the devil here and there. But it's God that is doing it. allowing it. It's, and the devil is just, I don't know what he's doing, but but God is the one that gave the power. So so if we think, you know, God is putting me through this. God is doing this to me. When it's, you know what? And it's so easy to say. I'm standing here saying it. It's so easy to say it. Nobody wants to go through it, but that's just what God does. And so if our approach is, when things are hard, you know, God is doing this to me, at least you have that strength, you know, that is God that's doing it. You know, just like we were talking last week about, you know, all the things that Jesus did, but it was still God doing it. You know, God created everything through Jesus. God did everything through. So, you know, if you're going through something, and, you know, it might seem like the devil is testing you or whatever. Yes, it's the devil, but it's what God has for you. And with that in mind, it will be so much. Again, like I just said, it will be so. It will give you something to give you strength when things like that happen.
I haven't shared much lately. I've been kind of things in my life. Let me kind of recap this morning, because you all really got my spiritual mind going. I too noticed numbers today and kind of thought, glory, God's got us right where He wants us. We've winnowed out the week, and those that are going on with God are here. And I see that in all of you every time, every week. Pablo gave a really insightful comment last week talking about God coming to us in the form of His Word. And I dwelled on that a little bit because, you know, we can't see Him. So he created a way for us to know Him without seeing Him. And He gave us the Word.
Good.
And so, I mean, the scripture started out with, in the beginning was the Word. So obviously that was His plan. Keith was bringing a lot of good things, but one of the things that occurred to me was, and he got right up to it, but he didn't say it, but we say it often enough, is in describing the concern of your heart and your heart condition and the fear that goes along with that really kind of starts to speak about the Matthew 7 folks that we like to talk about. Because we know it's so hard to judge our heart well, and we know that we don't want to judge our heart well because we know our own ickiness, and so therefore we know what God sees, and that sort of can depress us if we don't start clinging on to some of the other things, and that's what I'm up to talk about. I'm going to give a testimony. You've heard me over the past months say certain things, but I'll recap. I was put in a very difficult situation, not one of my choosing, and one that, previous to what God has been doing in my life, would have brought me down, probably would have forced me to backslide, because I wouldn't have been able to look to God's plan and see the goodness in the travail, because there wasn't any goodness in the travail as far as natural mind could see, so it was pretty easy to become discouraged. But I did make a choice to just put my hands in God's plan and accept whatever that was. And I'm here to tell you that I have continually been excited to see what God has done in my life because I've let Him run my life instead of me trying to run my life. because I mess up a lot. For those of you that don't, you can check with my wife. She has a list. But the point behind that and the revelation behind who he is and who we are and how we walk by just saying, it's not me. I mean, a thought came to me. I've shared this in the past, but, you know, we sometimes get up and phrase or we have conversations and we say things like, you know, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do something, or my point is that we somehow insert ourselves into a situation that we have nothing. I mean, I'm not saved because I did this. I mean, I have a relationship with the Son, and He is the mediator to the Father, but, you know, whether I make it or not is based on His grace and mercy, not on my... I have some actions, but I can't seal the deal. In other words, I'm responsible for certain things, but I don't control things. And my point is, you know, the things I'm in control of, making choices and opening up my heart, I need to do those, but my salvation is in His hands. And that's scary to us in the natural mind. The last thing I want to share with is, it occurs to me every time you see the words in the scriptures that say, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Spoiler alert, the natural mind doesn't know anything at all about what's being said. It is, it doesn't happen a lot, but the two or three times that you see it, you look at that and you go, well, that's kind of odd. And then you start thinking and you go, there's obviously more to this than what the natural mind sees. And it's interesting. It's really, I don't want to say nice of God, but my point is, there's a pointer that there's something deeper that's happening right here that we really need to dwell on. Because the ears that you hear with better be spiritual ears. And the understanding you apply better be not of natural mind, but of spiritual man, or you're just going to miss it. I mean, there's a revelation later on in the Gospels where Jesus himself is talking to the disciples, and he's been walking with them for nearly 3 years, and he tells them various things, and they just, you know, it's hidden from them until after the crucifixion. And then it's like, oh, now we understand. So they heard, but they didn't hear. But when God's timing was right, then they had ears to hear. And I think that gets back to what Pastor is sharing with, it all comes back to your heart. We have to guard to keep our heart open for what God has for us, in spite of what the world will throw at us. And it's so easy to get distracted from that. I'm here to tell you that I speak from experience when I say that when I have taken myself out of my situation and given it over to God, He's answered my prayers. And they all haven't been wins. I'm not saying that. There are losses in there too. I don't want to have to endure another year on the earth like I've had to go through. You know, we were at Susan's interment with her family, and there was the minister that came to preside over the event. We had to find one because there was brothers and sisters and all from different places on a spiritual map. And her brother got his minister from a Baptist church, and we were chatting about things, and it was an interesting conversation. And as we said, you have to decide where you go with where you're at and how much you share your heart, and not to offend or cause fights or things like that, but you still want to appear excited for the Lord. But I made a comment it's kind of a paraphrase that I've used that we've said in this church was, you know, there's a misquote of Scripture that says God won't give you anything more than you can handle. That's not exactly what it says, but I think the better answer, and the one that I've heard from this body in the past is, I just wish God wasn't so encouraged with my capabilities, because I would really much rather have a lighter yoke to carry or prove that I'm able to endure, because God is going to be there. I mentioned that to the Baptist minister, and he eyes lit up, and he said, that's really good. I want to use that. And I said, well, feel free. It's not really mine, but we think it fits. So.
The thing that impacted me this morning, which is in 1 Corinthians 13, and it made me realize something. I've been in a number of different church environments, and I believed what that church believed because I believed whatever they told me I should believe. You understand what I'm saying? And so I was in several Trinity churches, and I taught Trinity. And anyway, I've been in the apostolic faith type church, and I have taught the modern day oneness. And, you know, and so... so here I am now in a different setting, a different thing. But what I wanted to say, and here's what we need to understand. God judges the hearts. And so while I am Trinity, quote, is when I also had a healing ministry and saw some miracles take place. And I say that because... God judges the heart. And so, if I may, you know, be so bold here after this, you know, 16 years of listening to the Scriptures and looking for revelation, looking for understanding, looking for truth and all of these things, and I am. Because the Bible says to seek these things. We are told to seek these things. I want to know what the truth is. Even if Pilate was non-committal, you know, and says, what is the truth? And you know what I begin to realize? You know what truth is to most people? It's whatever the country or whoever is in charge says it is. Amen. It's, you know, it's like it's dictated. And you know who dictates? Dictators. And so if the dictator says, you know, if Caesar said this is what truth is, that's what truth was. And so, so we fall prey to the environment and the government and whatever else is around us. And so, but I don't want to go by the government. I don't want to go by the churches. I don't want to go by the systems. God has given me a faith element or something. I want to know what God says truth is. And so what we are doing, and it's not like I'm saying I've got the truth. I'm not saying that. I want to know what it is. And just because we're getting some elements of truth does not mean we have the truth. We've got some elements of truth. And this revelation that Jesus is a glorified man, that God brought forth the only begotten Son. I mean, if we don't understand just from these phrases, hundreds of phrases, if we don't understand that Jesus is a man that God brought forth, like out of the seed of Abraham, out of the tribe of Judah, if we don't understand these things, we got problems. It means we're not having ears to hear, like Corky said, we're not hearing what is in here to be heard, okay? So all of these years, I didn't have ears to hear. I want ears to hear when I hear the word. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I want my heart to have elements of truth so that I'm thinking from God's perspectives. But you know what? I'm a created being with unbelievable limitations. If we took all of us, added all of us together with all of the possible brain capacities that we have, it's still a little dinky thing. I mean, I don't want to minimize anything about any of us, but it's like we are created beings. The one that created us is so far removed, so far above us, he says his thoughts are as higher than our thoughts, as high as the heavens are above the earth. How high is that? I mean, we should, you know, just kind of look at our own thing here, and it should cause us to humble ourselves. It should to repent before God, to come to a different position. That's what it should do. And so while I am in a lot of false doctrines, a lot more than I'm still in, you know what I mean? Way back when, I saw the power of God and saw people being healed and saw miracles taking place and saw all kinds of things. And here we are, more revelation today, and seeing less. But what it is, there's a thing called faith. And faith tells me that these revelations that God has given to us, and these are truth. I know these things are truth. Because God has given us the foundation to get it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what happens? He says, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what are we doing? It's being hidden. It's being put down inside. It's putting. But every so often, these things come out of us and we think, where did it come from? It's been hidden in your heart and now it comes to surface. You know, it's like boiling water. Well, it's boiling and it's working and it's having its effect. And one of these days, we're going to see the results of what God is doing. And the thing, you know what Corky was describing this morning? It's a substance called faith. It's faith. What caused him to stand in the midst of the trials and in the testings and whatever else? It's a thing that we're starting to receive without in. How do you define it? We don't even know we're getting it. It's called faith. Faith comes by hearing that, by the word of God. So we're a faith nature is beginning to develop inside of us, and we're beginning in it, the pressure. I tell you what, the pressure that we've been under recently, 15 years ago, we might have just fallen flat. But faith increases our capacity to endure increases according to the faith nature of the Word of God that builds within us. I don't know who it was. Ken, maybe, this morning was talking about, you know, that Jesus being in God. And Jesus says, you know, in the 14th chapter of John, he says that he that has seen me has seen the Father. And then and everybody said, oh, he's saying that I'm God. And then, but then he goes on and he says, it's the Father that dwells in me that's doing the works. It's like, come on, let's let the scripture sort out everything so we understand the picture. He didn't say, I'm doing this. He says, in another place he says, I can do nothing of myself. If he was a separate deity or a separate whatever, as a matter of fact, there's a scripture that I love it. And it's one of those. It's in John 15:26. Or John 5:26. And it says, as the Father has life in himself, he has given to the Son to have life in himself. If that should not start people thinking, I'd like to know what. You mean he didn't have life in himself? And if Jesus says, I am in the Father and the Father is in me, here's my question. And now this is going to start, this could start a chain of thoughts that might be, you know, send us into a nosedive or something, not a nosedive, but into a skydive. And, you know, if that's the case, and Jesus says, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, and I came down from heaven, or that's not the exact way it works, but it's like, how long has he been in the Father? How much of this whole picture are our little finite minds not picking up? This day have I begotten thee. I mean, that's what it says, but it's like we don't really have this understanding. So instead of us getting all puffed up in our ignorance, we need to understand that there's a lot more to this picture, and we're getting bits and pieces. We're getting revelation from the Scriptures. God brought forth a son. But we have a spirit thing that exists eternally. So what part of the spirit being, are you understanding what I'm saying? Are we not understanding when Jesus says, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? For how long?
Put another little something with that. How long have you been in the mind of God?
Well, exactly.
Yeah. I had some more come, and then when we were talking about hearing, because it's all still in that same chapter 13 of Matthew. But I wanted to emphasize something. You know when it says he sowed, as he sowed some seed fell by the wayside, da-da-da-da. But you know what it's saying there? It's saying that all those people did receive. But it's what they did with it after. But then there's some that don't get to receive at all. Kind of. And I'll, it's just, it says, let's see. Let me go back to 12. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. And so, God, if he knows every man's heart, is not even, can I say, it's, this is a really not a good way to say this probably, is not going to waste his time letting some people hear. And that's a poor way of putting it.
I think of a better way, though.
But, you know, so some he's just not, even though, and you know, here's the thing. Before this end comes, this end time, every single soul on earth will have been accounted for, will be made to be accounted for.
Yes.
Every single soul will have been given the opportunity to hear. And now it says when that happens, and there's a scripture caught me off guard because Paul was talking, and he says, and this gospel has gone to all the corners of the earth. And I thought, well, then why isn't this thing all wrapped up in his time? I don't know. But it caught me off guard because it says, in the end, when all the Gentiles have had the opportunity to hear the word of God, then he will bring it back to Israel, and then, you know, and then things will get wrapped up. So the fact is, a lot of people still haven't heard the gospel, even though it's been preached all over the world, because it's not the true gospel. It's not the gospel of God, because that's the way it's put all the time.
Yes, it is.
You know, Jesus says, I'm bringing you the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of God. He also says, he says it a couple different ways, and so does Paul and whatnot. So, it hasn't been. And you know, I needed to hear that about what Keith said. You know, while I was a Trinitarian, I was in a healing ministry. Because, see, that is the key is what's... Because God knew Keith's heart that down the road he could bring him the truth and he would hear it. As it's, you know, not all at once necessarily. So, and then I sat there and thought, and it says, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So God, for whatever reason of his heart, chose Keith to get this voice and get this revelation of where we really need to find God. So if you take one and you count one, two, three, four, how many fold is that? So it started, you know. And so then if somewhere down the road one of us goes out and gets two, you know what I'm saying? It'll unfold. It'll go where it's supposed to go. And I got a little encouraged because for some reason, when every now and then, about every fourth lesson or so I get, you know, for my trumpet, I end up spending time talking with my instructor and his wife because she usually comes out or come whatever as I'm leaving. And I don't know, that's kind of, now that I think about it, it's kind of interesting because they want to talk. And so we share a little, but I always just keep dropping little things. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know. It's possible I could do that 50 times and it's not going to happen. But it's possible that they have a heart that God's looking at, you know, that says,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I never push it, but just share. Because usually I end up talking a little bit about where I'm at, you know, and where I haven't been. And where I should be, and which is always a good way because it keeps you humble, you know. And it's been, and they happen to be members of the particular church that's got a lot of press time lately. So, but you know, they're trying to look at it in a good spirit. They don't want to put down whoever was or wasn't. You know, they're trying to be real. Just not condemning or whatever, you know, or speak bad things, and that's good, you know. And I haven't even read the articles because, you know, you might get some insight, you might not, you might get somebody's opinion, you know. So it's not that big a deal, but it's exciting. See, and then as Keith was saying, you know, to hear, you know, I try to do this. I probably should do it daily. We should be so thankful if God has took your ear to hear. Because that's His blessing. Blessed. That's His blessing on us if He's giving us an ear to hear His word of truth. And like salvation, it's not because we did anything. It's grace, you know. So, you know, if you get in a low spot, think about the fact that God Himself knows you and gave you an ear to hear truth because He loves you and He knows your heart.
They asked Jesus... His disciples asked him, they said, "Is it, Master, is it true that only a few are going to be saved?" And anyway, and he gave them a number of illustrations, and the bottom line is, yes, only a few are going to be saved. And there's a scripture in Jeremiah, and I'm not positive exactly where it is, but it says, "And he will bring them One of a city and two of a family unto Zion. Those are not big odds. You know what I mean? They're big
numbers,
yeah. And so, and somebody read this morning or talked about the out of the kingdom. You know, that only, I remember who it was reading about it, but that he's going to take out of the kingdom those that offend. You know, and so that it's not just even the kingdom. It's a strange picture that we have facing us. And so the numbers are probably not anywhere near as big as what a lot, most of the church people are taught. I'm afraid that there's going to be a lot of churchgoers that aren't going to be in heaven. They're just not going to be there. And from the picture that we see, there could be a lot of people that are from the highways and the byways that are non-churchgoers that have got fed up with church that are going to be there, and churchgoers are going to, in their pride and pomp, they're going to miss it. So the picture could be a lot different than what we conclude, what we think, what we would like to think. And when I first got saved, and then thanks to the pastor of the church, or God leading this pastor, he directed me to this Herbert Marrood, who was a Lutheran fellow filled with the Holy Spirit. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I knew, how's that from zero to none? You know what I mean? I knew so little that when he talked about, I didn't even... He's up in front and he's giving his testimony talking about getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Does anybody here want to get receive the Holy Spirit? You know what? I didn't even hear about it before that. But I was so affected by this testimony and whatever, and it was, you know, that I raised my hand, and for the next 2 hours I was in a place that I've never been before or since, but I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? Well, here's what the Scripture says in Acts 1:8. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so, what happened? The heart at that point was good. I would be at work, and I'd call up Joanne, and I'd say, why don't you call up Gary and Joan Vasey and tell them we'd like to come over and talk to them. We went on day after day after day, and you know what? We never got a babysitter. You know what our kids did? They went with us. And in some cases, the kids and... I mean, Chuck was pretty little then, but the kids went with us, and they'd be playing with them. Our kids, after a while, began to witness along with them. That was who we were. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come. You know what happened? We saw people saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in Jesus' name. Saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw it, didn't we? Day after day after day after day, and that was the beginning of Community Chapel. You shall receive power. And that's why when I, at the beginning of listening to the Scriptures, that was where I was at. I said, I want that power. I want to be filled with the power that I had then so I could go out and preach this false doctrine that I got. It's funny now. But it's not really funny. I wanted to preach stuff that wasn't even true.
Well, it didn't change on your next step up either. I mean, it was
so,
but it wasn't all the way through.
So so here I am. I want to be, and this voice speaks, and it's contrary to what I was asking for. I want the power to go and see the things that I saw in the beginning, and the voice says, "If you want to find me, I'm not looking for you." Because I already know the Lord. Nothing could have been further from the truth. But that just shows who we are. That shows just how ignorant we are. And so he says, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And I was led, and it's like, you know what happened? Two things happened. One of them is, drop all these things that you've been carrying around and dragging behind you that were false, and start looking for me in what I said. And then led to the, and what you got to do is you got to get the right teacher now. You've been listening to yourself and to men. You got to stop listening to these men, and now you got to go and get the teacher that I provided for you. You shall receive, you know, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. And I can't do that, and you can't do that, and he couldn't do it, and nobody else can do it. So we had to, by faith, in get the Holy Spirit engaged in the leading and guiding into truth, and that is exactly what we are doing, a handful of Podunkville people. I didn't mean to burst your bubble by calling us Podunkville, but that's what we are. And I'll turn my back and say, Lord! Let's come up to the front. It had to come out, so... Thank you.